This is RNZ Pacific News. I'm Finolfo Noah Malolole. American Samoa has lifted its COVID-19 emergency declaration as of December 1st. The emergency declaration, which has been effective since 2020, required mandatory mask wearing and social distancing. The territory's government says there have been a total of 8,264 COVID cases, and that over 85% of the population have been fully vaccinated. The Cook Islands Tourism Industry Council is elated at its government's announcement of an airline subsidy package alongside two new airline partnerships. Direct flights between Rarotonga and Honolulu and to and from Sydney start next year. Tourism Industry Council President Liana Scott says around $6.4 million have been allocated to secure deals.
So, I mean, ideally, all things going great and filling to capacity, it means that we have to use less of this airline subsidy money. But basically, it's like a guarantee for the airlines to be able to travel those legs.
The Western and Central Pacific Fisheries Commission has approved the redeployment of independent observers in monitoring mass fish nets or PERS assignees from the 1st of January next year. The executive director of the commission, Feleti Teos, confirmed the decision this week at the commission's annual meeting in Vietnam. Teo said the observers would ensure that fishing companies adhere to acceptable standards.
The commission has already decided to lift the suspension decision and impose 100% coverage at the beginning of next year for all PERS seiners. The longline observer coverage is always a difficult one, and that's why the commission is moving very quickly on electronic monitoring.
The efforts of the Tongan government to rehouse hundreds of people left homeless by the Hunga Tonga Hunga Ha'apai volcanic eruption and previous cyclones appears to be floundering. Earlier this year, Tonga's Prime Minister Huakava Meiliku Siasavaleni had promised to build over 300 houses by Christmas, but most are yet to be completed. RNZ Pacific's correspondent in Tonga, Galaf Moala, says questions are being raised in the kingdom's parliament about the delays.
So they've been deeply affected by these two cyclones before, as well as the eruption and the tsunami. The question is some of the reconstruction that had started for restoring damages from Cyclone Ian, they haven't been even finished, and even from Cyclone Gita. And now there's a third disaster that's happened.
French Polynesia has recorded 152 COVID-19 cases, bringing the total number of active cases to 300. Three are in hospital, including one in intensive care. No deaths have been recorded in the latest outbreak. A new penal code has come into force in Cuba following an increase in demonstrations on the island. It increases the punishment for so-called crimes against state security and ramps up the threat of the death penalty. The BBC's Will Grant reports.
The introduction of a new penal code has already prompted serious concerns among human rights organisations over its potential to further stifle dissent, social activism and independent journalism on the island. It contains a clause making foreign funding for independent journalists illegal, for example. The Cuban government claims that the new penal code is in keeping with a new constitution, and it points to steps to penalise domestic violence and environmental crimes. However, several other crimes, in particular those considered by the state to be attempts to bring its communist system down altogether, could now receive the death penalty.
In Australia, a pregnant mother who was assaulted in a shopping centre's car park in Perth on Tuesday has died in hospital. The incident has shocked the country, and a 17-year-old has appeared in court. The ABC's Courtney Withers has more.
The victim was allegedly sitting in her car when she was hit in the head with a lump of concrete. She suffered a cardiac arrest as passers-by spent 20 minutes trying to resuscitate her in the car park. The victim was then taken to Royal Perth Hospital, where she remained in the intensive care unit. The victim was the mother of an 8-month-old baby. A vigil was held outside the hospital at 8 o'clock last night. The victim passed away in the early hours of this morning. A 17-year-old boy made a brief appearance in the Perth Children's Court on Wednesday, charged with grievous bodily harm in relation to the incident, and was remanded in custody.
A former Sydney school teacher, Chris Dawson, has been jailed for 24 years for murdering his first wife, Lynette, in 1982. Her body has never been found, and the Crown argued he killed her in order to have a relationship with a teenager he later married. The ABC's Jamie McCain reports.
74-year-old Chris Dawson has been in custody since he was found guilty in August following a judge-alone trial in the New South Wales Supreme Court. Justice Ian Harrison was satisfied he had a possessive infatuation with the family's teenage babysitter, which motivated him to kill his wife Lynette in 1982. In sentencing, he said Ms. Dawson was faultless and undeserving of her fate, and the fact her body has never been recovered was an aggravating circumstance of the objectively very serious crime. He sentenced Dawson to a maximum 24 years in prison with a non-parole period of 18 years. Dawson will be eligible for parole in August 2040.
China is reportedly set to ease COVID quarantine restrictions and reduce mass testing. There's been a wave of protests in China over the government's zero COVID policy. Our correspondent Patrick Fork reports.
This definitely marks a changing tone from Chinese officials. The message comes straight from the person in charge of COVID policy, Vice Premier Sun Chunlan. It announces a new stage in the country's pandemic strategy, describing Omicron as less dangerous than previous variants. And it mentions increasing vaccination rates. More conspicuously, it makes no mention of China's zero COVID policy.
To sport, Fiji have failed to qualify for the quarterfinals of the Dubai Sevens competition after suffering a heavy 24-7 loss to New Zealand in their pool. Samoa managed to qualify despite a narrow 14-12 loss to the United States in their pool. The quarterfinals will see Samoa play South Africa, France play New Zealand, Argentina against Ireland, and the United States take on world number ones, Australia. In soccer, it's been a roller coaster ride for the final round of Group E at the Football World Cup in Qatar. Japan and Spain have qualified, but Germany have failed to get past the group stage for their second straight tournament. Japan beat Spain 2-1 to finish on top, while Spain held on to its second spot via a goal difference from Germany, who beat Costa Rica 4-2. Having now beaten both Germany and Spain in the tournament, Japan's Ritsu Doan believes they can go all the way.
We believe it. Player, coaching staff, everyone believe it. I think we deserve it, and it was not a miracle, and we play very good. We have to go top 8, so that's our goal. So we have to give everything for next game.
In the latest results, South Korea pulled off an upset, defeating Portugal 2-1, whilst Uruguay cruised to a 2-0 win over Ghana. That's it for RNZ Pacific News and Sport. You can find more updates at rnzi.com.